Men of the choir, I have had the best seat that anyone could today. Thank you for being with us. Your voices are so beautiful today. This past Wednesday, many of my friends and quite a few of my family adorned ashes on their foreheads. For some, you could see how the priest or pastor had dabbed her thumb freshly in those ashes, a dark, thoughtful cross in comparison to the light smudge of another's. From dust we were born, and to dust we will return, the officiant says, as ash stains the skin for all to see. I will tell you that I have had enough of ashes lately. I scatter these elements often enough, the kind that whole lives seem to falsely be reduced to. The suggestion that the bodies we've loved, lived within, were born of could possibly amount to something so small, compact, countless in pieces. You would think that they would be light, the way the wind can so easily take them from the memorial site, dancing wildly around the loved ones who gather. Tight-lipped, eyes squinted, when the wind changes direction, it is the only time during the grieving process when we seem to turn away from the one we seek to see again. And it's not meant to be disrespectful, wiping them away from our black pea coats freshly cleaned. It's just that ashes are not light. They are not always reverent. They are like grief, like death, like life, messy. The ritual of Ash Wednesday is born of the Lenten story and begins with Jesus still dripping from the water in the river in which he was just baptized. Something has changed for him. Life has shifted, and now, led by the Holy Spirit, his own expectations, the need for quieting the chaotic fears and chatter in his head, he enters the wilderness. A desert landscape, but also his own personal wilderness of the Spirit, a wild, barren place, a liminal time. 40 days and 40 nights, the story tells us, though we take that all too literally. Did you know that numbers in the Hebrew Bible each hold symbolic meaning? Like, the number 7 really just means numerous. 7 days and 7 nights. It's not literal. God had some time to make the world, and then God rested. The same is true with 40, but 40 means a lot, many, a season, 40 days and 40 nights of journeying in the wilderness, his wilderness, yours, our own. It was a long time in the depths of loneliness, lostness, a famine of the Spirit. Now, this is a story of Jesus' physical journey as much as it is a metaphor for each of us. I trust that you can feel that. Feel those times in your life when it was a long time of living in the wild, barren places of the heart. And of course, in times such as this, we are never alone, are we? I don't mean, don't forget, you've got your community to pull you through, Jesus, or just listen deeply for that still small voice to guide you through, but that other stuff, those other voices that accompany us in times of isolation. If you remember, the devil, Jesus' tempter, 3 times offered him opportunities to be pulled from his desert place. If you want power, if you want control, if you want safekeeping, take this, do this, trust that. Quick fixes. False promises. You know the kind. Now, of course, Jesus refuses. He is Jesus, after all. But that temptation is real. isn't it? Had I heard those offerings this past week, I would have unburdened my spirit, dusted off my sneakers, and taken the first train home. Some control in the midst of dizzying overwhelm? You betcha. Some for me and a little more to control the whole wide world, please. Let me keep her children from the decisions of funeral homes. Move our cars safely among each other's, change the course of tornadoes, teach our hearts to speak plainly but with curiosity and affirmation all the same. Grant me the power to take away the things that can harm one another but that can also break. Last week, an 8-year-old boy lost his balance on a ski lift. The pictures show his father holding on to his mittened hands, arms stretched long, and the dad bracing, leaning back, gripping, holding on with all of his parental capacity to his child dangling out of the lift. It is the image of nightmares. And my palms sweat and my throat closes, just recalling it, the truth and metaphor of this child being held by his parent. How long can it last? High schoolers saw the boy and quickly pulled together netting and pads. They positioned themselves underneath him, asked the child, "Don't squirm, stop. If you can, stop flailing." And then they told him to kick off his skis. And then both he and his dad had to let go. If you had to choose, if you had to place yourself in this story today, who would you be? Because we have been told that the wilderness walks are choiceful, formulaic and contained. Jesus enters his. Christians choose to replicate this discipline by carefully scheduling deprivations of the body or the spirit within a tolerable amount of time. They make of it a time of deep reflection and meaning making, and then life again, normalcy, if not resurrection. Either way, there is a release from the grip of that choicefully interrupted time. And I need to be clear, I think you know this, my theology is deeply rooted in these stories, but the truth is there is no constructed amount of time, no particular season for that matter, for the heart to feel the weight of the world and then heal from that holding. No scheduled event for which we can prepare when life turns upside down. Life, like grief, like death, like the private wilderness of our days that we try so hard to contain in beautiful jars and age-old ritual, it's all messy. So if you had to place yourself in this story today, who would you be? The child who clung to his parents' safekeeping? The father who held on as if his own life hung before him? There was the sibling next to him, and the high schoolers who pulled the net taut, the onlookers who took the picture and couldn't do much else but watch and pray and hope. Who are you in this story? Who do you need? A net below? Hands that grip? Someone to build and hold the system of safety with you? How desperate is your hope right now? Can you be the one who said you? Or are you holding on? Afraid of when you can't? Are you watching? Watching, waiting too far away? maybe stunned by what could be. Seventy times seven, the Bible would say, of the times when wilderness seems to lead into wilderness, no reprieve. We aren't all journeying in this liminal time, this wild, barren place right now, thank goodness. But for those of us who are, for those of us who are hanging on or gripping like your life depends on what you hold, for those of us for whom the voices offering false promises are louder than our source of holy companionship, for those of us who feel like dust at the mercy of the wind, you are not broken down pieces of ash, but remnants of the stars acting out a new fire in the world. You can refuse the ugly suggestions that tell you all you can handle is the easiest solution. You can let go. Stop holding as if it is only yours to care for, to keep safe. You can be caught, held, remembered, and you can stop apologizing for falling. You are messy. We are reverently messy. And none of us, try as we might, is alone. All those days, begins Jan Richardson's poem. All those days you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face toward the wind and be scattered to the four corners, or swept away by the smallest breath as insubstantial. Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? This is the day, she says, we freely say we are scorched. This is the hour we are marked by what has made it through the burning. This is the moment we ask for the blessing that lives within the ancient ashes, that makes its home inside the soil of this sacred earth. So let us be marked, not for sorrow, and let us be marked not for shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge we bear. Maybe I'm not done with ashes. For to be would be to say I'm done with life and the form death can take, and a way grief can be given a place to rest. I am not done with ashes. I will all let them dance wildly around us if the wind chooses to move them. Let it be messy, all of it. And let us find one another in the numbering of our days. May it be so, and amen.